Welcome to Talking Travel on 2NURFM. Greg Richard today, joined as per usual by Sally Lucas. Afternoon, Sally.
Hi, Greg. Been a long time between visits.
It has been.
Yeah.
I've forgotten. Let's refresh my memory what we have to do.
What we had to do. And I think we were a Friday last time and now we're a Tuesday. So
it's all a little bit back to front.
I know. And I only just made it today. You were a bit panicking, weren't you?
I was sweating bullets at one stage. I think that's a phrase some people might use, but
I'm here.
I was worried I might have to play Hey Jude or something. But it's all right. Today you want to look at one of your favourite places.
I am. I haven't revisited it for a while, which is France and Paris and some of the incredible you can have in France as they're different, away from the norm, a little bit away from the norm. But hopefully we'll also get to talking about some of the wonderful free things you can do in cities or when they have museums on certain days when they have a free entry or something. So you can always plan around trying to be there to take advantage
exactly.
of these. It's nearly end of financial year and we all love a sale or a bargain, don't we?
Just and nearly mid-year already.
I mean, you mentioned me saying that even. And I know, where's it gone?
It's Talking Travel on 2NURFM 103.7 and Sally Lucas, we are looking at France today.
We are looking at France and I must admit I haven't been for a few years, probably about three or so, I think. I'm losing track. Our years just keep flying by. Oh. But I thought I'd just talk about some things you can do there that you might not have considered or you may have already done, but and taking you out of the city, but I'm also going to talk a little bit about what you can do in the city that's not going to cost you a lot of money.
Yep.
So firstly, and always, I think it was an old Audrey Hepburn, one of her phrases she used in a classic 1954 film called Sabrina, and Paris is always a good idea. I like it. Anyway, so apart from Paris, though, some of the things you can do, like Provence, that southern part of France is really beautiful, even if you're not going to the more famous parts of Monte Carlo or Cannes or something, you know, there's still a lot to do in Provence. Well, you've got wineries galore for a start, but you've also got some of the most beautiful lavender fields you'll ever see that just seem to go on and on forever. So if you're ever over there from mid-June to early August, you can just, you know, see fields of mauve just going. And it's just beautiful,
yep.
So scenically beautiful. And obviously you can go to, like, they have lavender shops and all sorts of things there as well and bus tours that take you to these places. But, yes, you can learn all about the they have even a museum dedicated to lavender to learn about the flower's life cycle. So if you're really into your botany or your flowers,
yep.
you know, it's something you can do. Also, if you want to create your own signature scent in what they call the perfume capital of the world, up in the sort of hills, if you like, overlooking Cannes, it's about 30 minutes, is a place called Grasse, G-R-A-S-S-E, mm-hmm. and that's where they produce, have been creating perfumes, or parfum, as the French would
yep.
say, for the world's most prestigious perfume houses for years. So they've got some of the oldest perfume houses in the region, and you can do workshops there as well if you want to create your own 100 ml eau de parfum. You can go there and do that as well.
So you can do a scent based on yourself.
Yes. Well, I mean, it depends what sort of scent you like.
I suppose, or what people think you smell like as well. Maybe that's not a good idea.
You might not want to know that. And if you're into your fungi, well, you can also learn from the masters at the Perigord Truffle Festival, which is on in Sarlat, which is about a six-hour drive south of Paris. And they pay homage, of course, to what they consider, you know, black gold or black diamond mushroom, which it's known for. And that's around the December to February truffle season. And they have festivals over that time, hunting demonstrations, cooking classes, etc. Also, you can experience the best of Basque cuisine if you go to Biarritz, which is on the French-Spanish border. So you're getting a real mix of Spanish and French culture and food. And the markets are incredible there as well. And they have what they call the pinchos, which is like little skewers. It means a skewer, but sort of similar to your tapas in Spain. It's
yep.
like small bites.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
you have these small bites, which is really wonderful as well. And one of the most, I guess, recognisable, which probably is, I'm getting off the track here, that it is often a bit busy, but it is beautiful, is the Abbey du Mont Saint-Michel. I mean, that beautiful abbey and church that sits on this island just off the coast, it's joined by a walkway now that you have to go across. It used to be once upon a time, of course, but it's joined by a walkway. And it is just the most incredible, I don't know, spectacle, I guess, is the world. It's World Heritage related, but it's also very, very hilly, got lots of steps, so you've just got to be prepared because it's quite high to get up and look and view at all the different parts of the monastery and the abbey, and it is quite a stunning thing to see.
It must have been fit people back in the day.
Oh, don't you reckon?
Because everything's all steep.
Stairs and cobblestones and alley. We must have had sure feet like goats. Sorry.
Right. I'm just thinking of these people with goat feet now. Thankfully, we've evolved since then.
Oh, dear. And I'm also just sticking with cuisine for a moment. You can do a master French culinary seafood cook, not just seafood, sorry, a cooking course with creations from your pâté en croûte through to seafood stuffed quenelles de brochet, which the renowned late French chef Paul Bocuse is from those parts, and this is Lyon. So you can do, it's an école de cuisine there where you can do lessons based on his beloved recipes and lots of other cooking classes you can do there as well. And this is also a UNESCO World Heritage Area in this called La Croix Rousse, which means the Red Cross, basically, which is in Lyon as well. And Lyon is sort of divided. It's one half of it's still got the old Roman, you know, from the Roman days, yep. And, you know, the remnants of amphitheatres, and the other side's sort of your French side. So it's like it's divided in, like Buda and Pest, you know, in Hungary you've got Budapest, but one side is different to the other.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, across the river, and it's the same in Lyon. So it's a very interesting city to visit.
It's very interesting. We have like have one city, but there's always like a
division,
distinctly different sides.
Or areas. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Maybe one side once was poorer than the other. Maybe, I don't know. Mm. I'm not sure how that evolved, but it happens in a lot of cities, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does. Yeah. Also, we're back with truffles.
Yes.
Quickly.
Yes.
I think they're very overrated.
Well, I love mushrooms. I must admit, I love those fungi.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, I would like only a small drizzle of truffle in anything I had. I think they're very strong, and yeah, I don't think it's to everybody's taste, even though they are considered liquid gold virtually. But yeah, I think everyone has different tastes.
Right.
Yours is not truffles.
Yeah, right on the fence there, weren't you?
But mine's mushrooms still. I do love mushrooms.
Love mushrooms, but truffle,
yeah,
overrated.
Yeah, yeah. It's a different sort of fungi.
It's Talking Travel on 2NURFM 103.7. And say, Lucas, we're looking at France.
We certainly are. And for those ski enthusiasts, not to forget you guys, because it has some of the best ski slopes in the world as well. So to ski.
I was going to question though, like really, like France has.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Incredible. Particularly like nearing on the borders, because you've got to remember they border Switzerland, Germany, Austria, and you've got all those wonderful Alps all through there as well. And, you know, one of them faces Mont Blanc, which is your tallest peak in Europe, and some of your ski fields. Chamonix, which they consider the unofficial capital of winter sport in France, but lots of others. Like there's a stack of, it's probably about 6.5 hours again from Paris, south to southeast.
Yep.
And there's lots of great ski resorts, and you're staying right there, like the resort is where the ski fields are. You're not travelling by bus, you know, to get to your fields. You're there. And it just caters just about all levels. Like they've got all sorts of like really even black diamond runs for the pros. But, you know, you've got all different standards. And even Club Med has a resort there, which a lot of families like, because when you go to Club Med, everything's included. So you've paid before you've left Australia.
Yep.
All your meals are included. All the kids' ski lessons, everything's included. It's a great holiday if you want to go holidaying with your kids to Europe and see a bit on the side, but do a bit of a ski package as well, because at least you're outdoors, you're doing something together as a family, and you're not putting your hand in your pocket, you know, for the kids every 5 minutes saying, oh, Mum, I want something to eat, I'm hungry. Yep. You know, it's catered for.
And so, you can bundle them off somewhere while you do your own
thing. That's right.
As well.
They can do their ski lessons and you can go off and do your own thing. So it's a good way to go. We did mention, of course, winemaking regions, and there are so many, of course, in France. I know we love our wines in Australia and we do have some fabulous wine regions there. But of course, they've got some of the oldest, as we know, like from Bordeaux to Burgundy to Provençal, which you've got your rosés from Provence, you've got your famous, of course, your reds from Bordeaux, Chardonnays from Burgundy, etc., or Bourgogne, as they call it, and then Champagne, of course, which is in the more towards the Loire Valley area. So you've got plenty of vineyards to keep you happy and keep you entertained if you want to do a bit of wine tasting.
If you're a wine person, that must be nearly heaven.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm a wine person. I'm a food. I'm an everything person, I think. I'm not a beer person, though.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, surely there should be something in there for you.
Oh, I can drink a beer on a hot day.
Okay.
It has to be a light beer, like a light as in not you know what I mean,
like a lager. Sort of thing. Yeah.
Something like that. If it's a really hot day, I can enjoy a beer. But otherwise, I'm a wine girl.
Fair enough. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. No. And the other thing you do too is you've got to remember Paris, in France, going to Paris now, it's got so many parks in it. Like it's a city with gorgeous parks, and often with little streams running through them. And so you can always just go and get yourself a wonderful baguette, a saucisson, which is your sausage, some fromage, some cheese, you know, pâté de croûte, a little bit of wine or whatever you choose to drink with it, and go and sit in a park and have a picnic. That's not going to cost you hardly anything.
No.
And you can do that anywhere. You know, there's so many parks, and so many of them are quite, you know, close to transport and everything, so it's easy for you to get around and get to the parks within Paris as well.
You probably get a bit more of an idea of the area as well if you're sitting in a park looking at other people walking around. And
yeah, I think that's half the fun of travelling, I think, is give yourself time to sit and do that sort of stuff, whether it's sitting in a park or a sidewalk cafe and watching the world go by while you have a nibble on something and a coffee or an ice cream or whatever you want, you know. But it's just nice to just see what people do, how they feel in their time in their city. You know, I think that's always interesting to watch. A couple of the other marvels, of course, you've got to remember the Palace of Versailles. It is absolutely stunning. 2,300 rooms, World Heritage listed again, on an 800-hectare estate, 17th century palace. It's home to over 60,000 pieces of art. Just incredible. And they've got this room called the Hall of Mirrors, and it's virtually is a hall. This room is just full of mirrors with this vaulted ceiling and et cetera. But you can do guided tours, or there's bike paths that loop around the grounds. And these days, everywhere you can hire e-bikes or, you know, do all sorts of things if you want to be active. You don't have to, you know, be just a lounge lizard and just sit. You can actually make sure you walk. And that's what you do when you travel, don't you? You walk or you cycle, whichever you wish to do. And also you've got the Saint-Tropez area, but, you know, you might be a little bit out of your budget there if you want to go down there. I think, you know, you could start at maybe...
You just walk around and have a look, or...?
2,000 euros a day for a day on the French Riviera, you know, if you wanted to hire a boat or, a nice maxi yacht or something, or cruiser go and spoil yourself. But
maybe
you don't have to do that.
Maybe just rent a movie, that's where it's set.
And also don't forget, as we were saying too, there's so many free things you can do as well. All the markets that, you know, all these European cities or countries, should I say, do have wonderful, most of them have the most wonderful markets. Yep. France and Italy come to mind, and Spain is three, and Portugal probably, I'll throw that one in there as well, but they've all got great markets. So always, you know, do that. That's not going to cost you anything. And that's where you can pick up your bits and pieces and fend for yourself with a bit of food rather than, you know, eating out at restaurants all the time, which can get a bit, you know, over the top at times, can't it, when you're eating out all the time? It's just nice to go into the supermarché or somewhere, or the delicatessen, charcuterie, boulangerie, pick up your bit of bread, your bit of whatever, and go and explore. And there's so many museums that have free days that you've got to remember in Paris as well. There's a great list that, you know, you can look up, which will tell you, like on the first Sunday of the month, for example, bucket list museums such as the Musée d'Orsay, the Musée Rodin, Centre Pompidou and Musée Picasso open the doors to art buffs for zilch. So, you know, if you start looking and planning a holiday, it really is the best thing you can do. You get so much more out of it. It doesn't have to be France or Paris. It could be anywhere. But knowing when things are open and not, knowing when there's the freebies, you know, how you can get around. And a lot of them now, they have a lot of students doing free walking tours within the cities as well. So it doesn't have to cost you a fortune. You know, you're paying a lot to get to these countries, I understand, because you're flying a long way. But whilst you're there, you know, you can just stay at lovely little pensionis or family-run little auberge, you know, and you can eat, as I said, simply by going and buying some lovely stuff just at the supermarché, you know, and do some of the free things. You know, it doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg.
And especially now you can look stuff up a lot more quickly and easier.
Well, that's what I mean. And you've got your language translation now that helps you with that as well. So got so many benefits now. I mean, there's the downside, a lot of high-tech stuff, but there's also the good side that really helps you more with your money, with translation, with finding where something is, with how to get around, you know. So the world's your oyster if you just want to do a bit of research.
You've got to make sure that translation thing is on the right languages as well. I had a friend who was speaking to someone and they had him for German and there was just complete
silence.
Disaster. Yep.
No answers, nothing happened.
Eventually they rang her daughter or something and they sorted it all out. But it was a long time between both of them having no idea what was being said.
And the other thing is be aware of what the cultural customs are in countries before you go. You know, there's certain things you don't do or don't say, or how you have to be covered, you know, to walk into a temple or a church, or, you know, just always look at your customs of each country you're going to, so that you're going to be prepared and not, you know, embarrass yourself or, yep. or say or do the wrong thing. You know, always be aware of that. I think that's a must.
It's Talking Travel, Hontu and Uart FM 103.7. And Sally, we're wrapping up with a couple of hot deals.
We have got a couple. There's end of financial year ones, of course, as we all have. Yep. For bookings made from now till 30 June with Wendy Wu Tours, they're having $1,000 per person off all their China tours of 12 days or more. Yep. So that's a big saving. And $500 per person off all tours under 12 days. Now, this applies to all China tours and departures in 26 and 27. And both on the air inclusive ones as well. So even the ones that include airfares, you're still going to get the same rebate yep. as if you book on a land only tour. So just keep that in mind because that really is a good, you know, saving. Yep. The other thing I thought was quite interesting came across my desk. APT are doing a 100-day world tour, 19 July next year. Now, for someone who's maybe got 100 days spare.
Yep.
A retired couple.
Geez, you're going to be on the go.
You are, and it's...
I mean, it's no 80 days, but still.
I know, it's a bit more than 80, but the only Jules Verne did that in a balloon, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
But you start in Australia, so you're doing 2-week Kimberley tour, mm-hmm. Kimberley Complete, I was trying to say, and I was combining the two words together, Kimberley. Anyway, forgive that. You're doing Magnificent Europe with Prague and Budapest, which is so days 1 to 17, Kimberley, days 18 to 38, you're doing that. And then day 39 to 48, you're going into Spain and Portugal. Days 49 to 64, you're doing the Canadian Rockies. Days 65 to 74, Vietnam and Cambodia. Days 75 to 87, you're doing the South Island, New Zealand. And back home in Australia, days 88 to 100, highlights of the Hunter Valley and the Murray River.
Right.
So you might have to win lotto or something. But if you've got the time and the money,
yep.
wow. And Viking's doing it as well. They're doing it for 28, 29. They're doing a world cruise. But you can buy different parts of it. So if you don't want to do the whole world trip, theirs is 170 days for the full one, but you can buy off portions of it. So if you're interested in that 28, 29, there's different tours, 125, that's 142, 153, so like Los Angeles to Stockholm or Fort Lauderdale to Stockholm. They've got all sorts of things included there as well. So just, I thought really interesting that these world tours are, we used to have the old days in my early days in the travel industry, the Women's Weekly World Tour, and it was world renowned and famous, and it was promoted through the Women's Weekly. It was actually, you know, they put it together, and it was an extensive world tour. It was by ship back then originally, because you went one way through the Panama and one way through the Suez, and then, of course, when the Suez had its problem, well, we're suffering almost the same thing now, aren't we, with the Strait of Hormuz. But, yeah, so these world tours, we haven't had many like that since those days. Yeah. I'm going back to, just trying to think when that would have been, 70s, 80s? Is that probably around that era?
That was a bit more popular then?
Yeah, because we didn't have as much air travel then. So most people were still travelling by ship and only getting used to the fact that you could go further by air. You know, we did the closer destinations, but people didn't think, you know, if you went on your old working holiday to London, as a lot of teenagers and early 20s did, you either went on the overland tour or you went by ship.
And by ship would have taken you half the year, wouldn't it?
Six weeks would be about your shortest.
Okay, yep.
Up to 8 weeks, to 8 weeks it was, to do your cruise through to the UK, because it was actually cheaper than airfares then because we didn't have the proliferation of airlines, et cetera. So airfares per capita were much dearer then than they are now.
All right, there we go.
So, but there's lots of good deals out there at the moment. If you want to take advantage of anything before the 30th of June, there's quite a lot of, you know, end of financial year sales happening. Right. So, just rush in and grab a bargain.
Now's a good time to book in.
It is.
For something you want to do.
For next year. Yeah. And just remember too, airlines do not have a whole 12 months in their booking system because they can't have two Decembers or two Januarys. So if you're wanting to go, for example, in June next year, the bookings aren't going to be open until July this year.
Okay.
For air travel. Land content is available and cruising, all that sort of stuff is available to book ahead. But your airfares, yes, you've got to wait for those to come out at 11 months out.
Right. So, Lucas, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll catch you again next time.
Yes.